The land beneath the railroad tracks along the Pere Marquette River in Baldwin is washing. It's eroding into the river. Locals are concerned about a derailment, but the company that owns the railroad tracks said that won't happen anytime soon. Interlochen Public Radio's Taylor Wisner has more.
On a warm early fall day, Park Smith walks alongside the curvy path of the Pere Marquette River. The fly fisherman says he admires the river, which is spring-fed and cold enough to support brown trout.
This is where brown trout, German brown trout, taken from Baron von Baer's farm in Basel, Switzerland, came to America.
Smith is a member of the Flint Rainbow Club, a private fishing club operating since 1916. He and the other members of the club worry the prized trout are in danger of chemicals spilling into the river from train cars. For years, the river has slowly cut into the steep land beneath an active railway. Trees once dotting the higher parts of the sandy bank have caved into the water.
And as you can see, that tree is almost literally in midair. The soil underneath it is eroded. You can see the roots hanging out. This one over here has fallen in. There's another one gone now that was over there. It fell in about 2 years ago.
Smith says erosion is tricky. It happens slowly over many decades. But with an intense water event like prolonged rain or ice, pieces of land can crumble without warning.
If this settles and becomes uneven, the cars fall over. This will be the low side, and you can see that's just straight downhill there in the river. You either have a slick of this asphalt paste or you poison the river with the chemicals.
Smith has watched train cars roll by with the car's contents written on them. Asphalt, road salt, magnesium hydroxide slurry. Mark Tonello, a fisheries biologist for the Michigan DNR, says if the train's contents were to end up in the water, it would devastate the river's ecology.
You know, you can create a biological oxygen demand where you suck suck all the oxygen out of the water and it kills fish that way. There's a number of different things that can happen.
He adds it would be a tough blow to the local economy, which relies on the river recreation tourism.
If a train were to go in that river, it would be a really big deal, and it would make national news, and it would be a big black eye to everyone involved.
On the opposite side of the river is Jim Boss's home. He is the president of the Pere Marquette Watershed Council and has been working on the erosion problem for a decade. Twice a day, he feels the earth rumble around his house several hundred feet from the train, pulling about 50 cars. Boss says the rail company maintains the tracks well.
But they inspect it from up there, and I'll challenge you to tell if you can see where the water hits the soil from up there. You can't see it. It's too vertical.
He says they don't see how fragile the land is beneath. Genesee in Wyoming, a Connecticut-based company, currently owns the train tracks and says the erosion is not happening on their property, so it's not their responsibility. But the company says it monitors the location closely and would take action long before any unsafe conditions develop. Boss disagrees and says the situation is already urgent because of high water levels.
We've seen, with the climate change and everything else, there's bigger storms. When we get rain, it's not a quarter inch anymore. It's an inch and a quarter. And, so there's going to be more wear and tear on this bank, I think, going forward.
In June, Michigan Senator Kurt Vanderwall arranged a meeting between the local group and the railroad company. And during it, the company agreed to let the Watershed Council build up the bank with gravel to better secure the railroad tracks. They're also going to plant trees and bushes to root the foundation. But just as the effort finally moves forward, the council is losing some steam. Boss says the engineering designs have cost $73,000, and the construction itself will cost several hundred thousand dollars the council doesn't have. Add on the special permits that take time to get and grant applications, it will likely be another 2 years before construction can begin. For Stateside, I'm Taylor Wisner.
That story was featured on Points North, a weekly show and podcast from Interlochen Public Radio. You can find more episodes at pointsnorthradio.org.